Thank you again for this privilege to this evening to have the privilege to preach, to give you the word of the Lord. We are coming back this evening to the same text. I'm going to read just verses 37 and 38 of Matthew chapter 9. Friday, I tried to focus what I said in the Jesus early ministry. Focus was going through the cities, preaching in every city and village. Then verse 36 this morning is the heart, the motive, compassion. And finally here, we are going to see a key strategy, prayer. Verse 37, 38. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Let us pray. Father, give us ears to hear your word. Give us eyes to see the wonderful word that comes to us in Jesus Christ. Guide us with your Holy Spirit this evening. In the name of our Lord. Amen. We can see here in this passage how now Matthew records this Jesus' early ministry, but Jesus changed the metaphor, changed the image that comes to our minds. This morning we're talking about sheep and shepherds. Now in verse 37 and 38 introduce us the image of the harvest. The spring and autumn harvest feasts in Israel, namely the Feast of the Weeks and the Feast of the Tabernacle, both functions as types of or shadows pointing forward to the final harvest that consists in definite complete salvation. The prophet Isaiah in chapter 25, verses 6 to 9 says, "On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people will taken away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, 'Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him. He might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation.'" The final harvest comes at the second coming. Harvesting also took place in the initial way as soon as the kingdom was started in Jesus' early ministry. So the first thing that has to come to our mind is that when Jesus said to the disciples, "Pray Jesus is putting in the minds of the disciples the harvest. You and I, we have to pray with the harvest in mind. Now, there is a pretty common mistake today that you can be a Christian and not join the church. It's awful. Awful way of thinking. How can you love our Lord Jesus Christ and you will not love his church, his bride? But it's common to hear that. Now, after many 25 years of being in missions conference, also, I have heard missions committee, sorry, I have to say, not this church, okay, pastors, that they want just to support national workers, like me. They don't want to support more missionaries. And these churches say, no, we need national workers because the national workers really can do the job. They don't need more missionaries. But what is the picture of the harvest in your mind? It's not the book of Revelation. It's not what the book of Revelation says. And a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and people and languages, is standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands. Is not that picture? Or you think you are going to be in heaven just with Americans? Sorry, you will have Mexicans in besides you. Huh? Sorry. That's the picture of the harvest. Is this the final picture Jesus started in his early ministry? You have to pray with the harvest. You know, it's the beautiful. In our team in Northern Mexico, Monterrey, we have been working together, missionaries and national workers, for many, many years. I know the Davidsons have been supporting from you for many years. And you don't know how much has been a blessing traveling with Charlie all these years. Just training pastors, going to different church planters. There is a beauty of the nations, the languages, the people working together. Beautiful to have a Mexican and a Brazilian working together for Brazil or for Mexico or for other country. I know a pastor, a Brazilian pastor, who has been a pastor in Santiago de Chile for many years. Why a Brazilian pastor in Chile? And he has been a blessing to the Presbyterian Church right there. But there is a beauty because it's the harvest. The nations, the languages, people working together for the kingdom of God. So when Jesus said to the disciples, he put in his minds what the prophet Isaiah had just read. When you pray for missionaries, for campus outreach leaders, for aviation engineers, think about the beautiful of the harvest. Think about how we can work together for his kingdom. Second, I think it's obvious from the text. Not just the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers, workers are few. Now, we can read Matthew 10. But if you have your Bibles right there, you can see that the next text after Matthew 9:38 is when Jesus chose the apostles and sent them to preach. And they later says many things about preaching. First, he sent the apostle and his disciples to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The same strategy. Jesus came for what? For the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In the beginning, the disciples have to go first to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. After the resurrection, before the ascension, is when Jesus gave the Great Commission. But if you continue reading Matthew chapter 10, you will see that the mission implies reception, but also rejection. If you go to Matthew 10, you will see that the mission is dangerous. Behold, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Later, the mission would be both dangerous and divisive. Brother, we will deliver brother. Brother will deliver brother over death, and father, and the father his child. And children will rise against parents and have them put to death. Pray for workers. The first thing that I want you to remind you is pray for the workers that already are on the field. Because that's mission. Mission is dangerous. Mission is rejection. Mission is divisive. It's why Jesus says, pray. Pray for the missionaries. Pray for the national workers. Pray for those who are doing the missions, whatever place. Three years ago, I tried to be a church planter, and I failed because I didn't listen to my wife. I was so excited after assessment center for church planters. Missionaries invited me to go and to start a new church. Everything was new. We have been married for 2 years. We have a baby of 10 months. And I was, one lunchtime, came back to my house. And I said to Marisela, hey, they invited us to start a new church right here in the west of the city of Monterrey. What do you think? She was cooking. We are not ready. Car! We're ready! We are not ready. But if you say yes, I will support you. We were not ready. We were not ready at all. And we failed. You know, 30 years ago, if you are in a church planting movement, or books on church planting has, the first chapter is what not to do. You know? If you read a church planting book, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. We did everything My mentor and I, we did everything. All the mistakes that you can after a year, really, I felt like a failure. I said, God, really, did you call me to be a minister? After 1 year, I said, maybe I have to do other thing. And one pastor in my presbytery, another pastor says, oh, Jorge, now that you took 1 year of vacation, oh, took me a while to recover, to understand the times, the failures, the mistake that we did it. It was just the beginning of our church planting movement in northern Mexico 30 years ago. There is many things can happen in whatever mission work. The city of Durango is one city in central Mexico. Sorry, I have to speak in Mexico. That we started a church plant 12 years ago. We sent a church planter. And it was wonderful the first 3 years. Very skilled, ability church planter. He has a group. And suddenly, one of his sons has really a crisis, a situation right there in the church with a family of the church. And he couldn't continue to be the leader of this new church. We sent that from Monterrey to Durango, and he needed to come back. He has a young guy, no, under him, part of his staff, and he needed to took the leadership of that work. And after the change and the transition, the church started recovering again. 3 years later, he has a problem in his marriage. His wife says, you know, I don't want to continue. I'm going to leave you. When the church was going up, 3 years later, boom. And I was having a breakfast with another pastor, not a Presbyterian pastor, in the city of Durango, talking about this. And this young man was telling me, hey, I grew up here in this city. And this pastor told me, I says, there is something obscure that you don't see on the surface of this city. But there is a spiritual battle. Another young man took after this second church planter. And what happened 3 years later? Another problem. In that time, we have a second church plant in the city of Durango. Thanks the Lord has been blessing. We have a mission church. We have a church that is almost particularized and hopefully to buy a building this year. And this church is planting already a daughter church. But it's a spiritual battle. And maybe if you read biographies of missionaries, you will see how many times in the mission work there is a health issue, a family situation, because Satan doesn't want that we continue the work of preaching, spreading out the gospel. So when back, pray. Pray for those who already are on the field first. Pray for church planting movement. Pray for the college students, for preaching to the high school kids, for mercy. Pray for those that you know. Because in that field, there is a spiritual battle. So later, and so, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest, Send out laborers into the harvest. Pray with the harvest in mind. Pray for the workers who are ready on the field. And pray for more laborers. Have you approached to one of these ministries? Which one would say, don't send more missionaries? We don't need more. There is a ministry that will say that. There will be a ministry that says, we don't need more national workers. We don't need more church planters. We don't need more leaders. I will think that each one of the ministries that you support, if you ask the question, they will answer, we need more leaders, more universities to reach, more cities to preach the gospel. In the Presbyterian Church in Mexico, the Presbyterian Church, for many historical reasons, is strong in numbers in southeast Mexico, but not in the north. However, there is one ordained minister for every three churches. One ordained minister for every three places where the preaching of the word of God is doing in Mexico. If we want to wait until to have ordained ministers to plant a new church, we are still waiting and waiting and waiting. We plant churches with ordained ministers, but sometimes with ruling elders. Let me give you a story. 17 years ago, this ruling elder, Teodoro, he was in one of the Presbyterian churches right there in Monterrey, and the session says, hey, each ruling elder has to start a Bible study in his home in order to grow the church. So Teodoro started in his house a Bible study. And kids start coming. And women start coming. And suddenly, these small houses, they didn't have a space for more kids, more women, and the church, and the people who are coming. And so they took, a leap of faith and start renting a house. And renting a house just for that work that started in his house. And children and women and some men, young people start coming. Now he has 30. And he approached to the CPI, to the Center for Church Planting. And he asked us, hey, Jorge, I need a church planter. I need that you send me a church planter. I said, I don't have anyone. I don't have church planters. I'm praying for that God will raise church planters. And then the leader of CPI in that time and me, we asked him, what about if God is calling you to be a church planter? Me? No. But you are already doing the work. You are preaching the gospel. New people are coming. You have really a mission church. So the Lord was moving him in his heart. He came to the assessment center. He started seminary. 10 years later, we particularized a church. He's an ordained minister now, bivocationally working. And this church is planting another church. Pray. Pray for more workers. We need that God will move the hearts of young people. I say to my campus outreach guys, don't train them just to be a campus outreach leaders. Tell them that they can be a church planters, please. They are here. No? Of course, they can be a campus outreach leaders. But also, we need not just leaders in college and universities, we need also pastors and church planters. Around 10 years ago, Charlie and I were in a training in New York for training pastors and leaders. And we were ready to start our training and in New York and with City to City when suddenly the cell phone start, maybe you know this kind of a story, but cell phones start with the alarms. It was 10:02 in the morning. And they were like a 4 or 5 at the same time cell phone ringing. And the leader, the trainer, John, says, "What is going on? What happened?" So one Canadian leader stood up and says, "Oh, John, sorry to disturb the training. But in our church planting movement in Canada, every pastor and church planter and leader, we set up our alarms in the cell phones at 10:02. Because Luke chapter 10, verse 2, says, pray for more workers. So whatever we are doing at 10:02, we try to stop and take 1 minute or 2 minutes to pray for more church planters. That's a huge niche. That is a huge need for Latin America, for the Americas. That's huge need to have missionaries, national workers around the world. Why Jesus did that? You know, some seminaries in U.S., now they have more students and masters in counseling than masters in divinity for being a pastor. Even right here, in our seminaries, a lot they don't want to be a pastor for the struggles, failures, problems. There are more students for counseling. That is great. We need it. But we need pastors and church planters. Why Jesus' strategy was to pray? I think, finally, two things that I want to say to you. One, of course, prayer changes. Jack Miller has this quote in one of his letters to a missionary. "The beating heart of Christ planting churches is found in corporate prayer. It's through corporate intercession that the leader and the team of shepherds find release from fears, misconception, prejudice, pride, and self-will." Jack Miller was telling this missionary, pray, pray in your church. Pray for the kingdom of God. Because pray changes. Change our mindset, our heart. And when we are praying for mission, mission itself is God's tool for forming us. Pray with the harvest in mind, brothers, sisters, church. Pray for your workers, your laborers, your missionaries, your national workers. But pray that the Lord will bring more and more laborers to preach the gospel in U.S., Mexico, Latin America, North America, and in the world. Thanks for your heart. Thanks for your support. Thanks for your prayers. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love, for your mercy, for this beautiful evening that you have given us right here to meditate in your word. We ask and we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you.